2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you that the 75th anniversary of our church was approaching, and we are beginning to pray and think about and talk about what God would say to us during this special time in our church family. 75 years, that's even older than me. Some of you have been a part of this church for 75 years, and we still have a couple of charter members that are here. One of them's here today. And some of you have been around this church for a long time, 60, 50, 40 years. Some of you have been here in the foreseeable past, and others are new to the church. But I want you to know that I believe that the 75th anniversary of our church is a great opportunity for us as we say, God, what do you want in this church, in this community, and in our lives in the days ahead? We certainly are talking about celebrating and celebrating our past and celebrating some of the neat things and great stories and things that have happened that we have to be thankful for and want to remember and hold on to. And so we're saying, God, thank you for what you have allowed and given to us in this church, in this community. But I want you to know that also, probably even more important, is as we seek God about the next 75 years and asking God that he will speak to us and do something new and fresh in this church and in our lives as the people of God in Mifflinburg. I do believe that our church is at an important time. I believe that our church is at a time of spiritual decision. I believe that these are good days for us to say, God, what is it you want for me and for us in order to fulfill the calling that he has for us? We are who we are as a church and God's people in this culture and 2018 in this community is something that we wrestle with. And what does God want our church to be? What does he want us to look like? What does he want us to be focused on? And how is it that we can fulfill the same calling that we read about in the early scriptures? I do believe that God is calling the church. I believe that we are entering a season that I hope that all of us who are part of this church family and those that are coming to be with us will sense and see and feel that we, a people, care deeply about hearing from God today. I believe that God is calling to our church. I believe that God is calling to me and to you and to every single one of us. I believe that God is calling to our young people. And I pray, young people, that you will hear and listen for God's voice in your life at a time when you're making such important decisions about who you are and what you believe and what you're going to do in your life. And from the youngest to the very oldest, I believe that God wants to speak to us. I believe that God is calling to the church today with great love and care. I believe that God loves the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And so as we think about, does God care about 2018? Does God care about our church? I want to say, I know he cares. I know he cares about who we are and what we are, and he speaks to us with love and care and with passion and with purpose. God has a purpose for this church. God has something in the future for this church if we are willing to hear him and seek him and follow him. And so I'm asking you to pray with me and pray with those that already are thinking and praying about the future of this church. God, what do you want for us? I believe that that call is for every single one of us. It's for me. It's for you. Whether you've been a part of the church for a long time, that call is for you and for me. Whether we've been a part of a church for a short time or a long time, and you're here today and you're a part of this church family, God is calling to us. And I pray that God would lead us, every one of us, to seek him and know his spirit and his presence. This morning, I want to continue the message that I began 2 weeks ago. I spoke to you from God's message from the prophets, the very last prophets of the Old Testament. We call them the minor prophets. There's 12 books in the Old Testament that are called the minor prophets. They're not minor in that they're not important or contain amazing truth from God, but they're smaller than some of the other books of the Old Testament. And these minor prophets are very special. Each one of them were written in a certain context, and we have to study and kind of understand the context to get the fullness of the meaning of the words that come. But when you have the opportunity to read these prophets, I believe you hear how intently God spoke to those people and how important the message was. And then as we read them today, we realize that the same God who spoke through these prophets way back there wants to speak to us today in the church. And I've always said, and I say often, when I preach, that every book of the Bible and every chapter, and I believe every passage of the Bible has something to say to us. We might not capture it. We might continue to study to see what is God saying in this book and what's God saying in this story. And we believe that God has something to say, and he has something to say from these minor prophets. Books that I probably don't read as often as other books that are found in the Bible, but all of them are valuable and deep. And I want to speak to you again today from these minor prophets. Especially I want to focus on the words of the late minor prophets, although I'm going to quote from several of them. It was a day for the last three prophets in the Old Testament where the prophets were trying to encourage the people who had come back from exile. Babylon had destroyed Jerusalem, and God said, I am punishing you because you had turned away from me and you weren't listening and you weren't doing what I called you to do, and you're going to go into captivity. But he said, I will not forget you, and you will be punished, and after 70 years, I will bring you back. And that's exactly what happened. 70 years later, God began to work in the heart of the king, and he allowed some of the people to come back and some leaders to come back to Israel to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, to reestablish the law of God and the law of Moses. And the people were coming back, and as they got back, they became distracted with lots of things, and they had many challenges. And so these last three prophets of the Old Testament are speaking to the people to tell them that God cares about you. God knows what you're dealing with, and God has a message and a word for you today. And this morning, I want to read some of the words of these prophets. I want to begin with the prophet Haggai. I read a little bit from this passage a couple of weeks ago. Haggai was one of those prophets that God came to and spoke to and said, tell my people these things. This morning, I want to share with you eight things that God says in these minor prophets to us as I think about the future. And I think about what does God say in my heart and in this church and in this place. I want to invite you, if you want to read along the book of Haggai, chapter 1, the third to last book in the Old Testament. It's right before you get to Matthew. You go back a few pages and you find this very small book. Haggai is the second smallest book in the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1. I want to read verses 13 and 14 and then verses 6 through 9. And then I want to share eight things that God says to his people in this book, but also in some other verses in these prophets around them. Haggai chapter 1 verse 13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And if you go over to chapter 2, verse 6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the desire of the nations will come. And I will fill my this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Eight promises of God that I would like to share with you this morning. The first one in chapter 1, verse 13. God says to the people through the prophet Haggai, I am with you. I want you to know that God gives the promise to people of every age of the church, every age of his relationship with man. He promises to be with his people. He promises that no matter what you go through, no matter the flood, no matter the problem, no matter the hurt, no matter how dark it seems, God says, I will never abandon you. I will be with you. And the prophet is saying to the people of God, the message that God gives to him, tell the people, give them the message. The message from the heart of God is this, I am with you. The God promises to be ever present in your life. He's watching. He's focused. His eye is on you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you, no matter what your circumstances. I'm sure there's some people here today that say, oh, I don't know that God even knows me. The truth is, God not only knows you, but he says, I am with you. And if you turn to him and you listen to him and your heart responds to him and you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's the promise of the very presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and he will be with you. And to this Old Testament crowd of people who wondered, does God really care about us? After all we failed with and all we did that walked away from God, surely God can't care about us anymore. And so he says to the prophet, tell the people, I am with you. 1 John chapter 3 says, behold, the love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. God sees you as his child. He loves you. He cares about you, and he'll be with you. So the next time you are in that place and you say, does God really know where I'm at? I want you to hear the words of the prophet Haggai. Tell the people. God says to the prophet, I am with you. God also said to the prophet Haggai to tell the people. He said, tell the people, I will stir you. I will stir you. Chapter 13 talks about the stirring of God's Spirit for his people. It says that God stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Right after he said, tell the people that I am with them, he said, tell the people, I'm going to stir you. I'm going to do something in your spirit. I'm going to trouble the waters. I'm going to reach down and I'm going to touch you at the deepest spiritual place of your heart and your life because I have something I want to say to you. I will stir you. You know, to be stirred by the Spirit of God is something to be very thankful for. And those times when we don't feel the stirring of God are times that we should be most concerned about our focus and our attention on the great Almighty, because God says he wants to stir his people. He wants his people to sense and to feel. Remember, this is the remnant of the people. They had made this long journey from Babylon to Israel and all the challenges along the way, and they got back, and I kind of feel maybe they were just kind of numb with all that was going on, and God comes to the prophet Haggai, and he says, tell the people I'm with them, and also tell them that I want to stir them. I want their spirits to be stirred up. There was a churning that the prophet is describing here in the heart of the leaders, in the hearts of Zerubbabel and Joshua. God said, first of all, tell the people that I'm going to stir them, the leaders. And so he began to stir them and churn them. There was a movement of something. There's this turning and this sensing of what God wanted to do and say to the people, that there was this wind coming through that said, God is coming. God is stirring. God has something to say. So I want to know today, can we listen for and can we say, God, would you stir us again? God, would you stir Mifflinburg? Not for Mifflinburg's glory, for the glory of an amazing God. Can God, you give us a chance to hear your spirit again and be hungry for you and allow that somehow in life where we're so busy and we have so many toys and we have so many fun things that we like to do that even desperate to hear God's voice again would be more important than so many other things that occupy our time and our mind and our energies. God, would you stir us again? He says, I will stir my leaders, but then I want you to look further in this verse. It says, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. Yes, he wanted to stir the leaders, and that was so important. But he says, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. That's us. That's us. Do we want God to stir us? Do we want to sense this movement of his voice and his spirit again? God says, I am with you. God says, I want to stir you. God also tells us in this time period, he says, I am jealous for you. I am jealous for you with intensity and connection. God feels attached to his people and possessive of the church, of his people. And this good jealousy of God says, I care about you. Don't think I'm not attentive to you. Don't think that I'm detached from you and I'm sitting up there on this big throne chair in heaven and I'm just kind of once in a while looking down there. No, God is watching the church with great intensity and love and care. I am jealous for you. Think about what it means that an eternal God can be jealous. We think of the word jealousy, it's usually not good things that come to our mind and our heart, but the jealousy of God is described in the Bible as a great love. It's a great attachment. He doesn't want to let you go. He doesn't want to let you go into a life of pain and sin away from him. God wants you to be near him because he has affection for you and care for you. So when you think, how strict is God? And sometimes people see God as this strict whatever sitting up there with a clipboard. The jealousy of God tells me that there's a God who cares deeply personally about each one of us. He cares what we feel and what we sense and who we are. He's an attentive God. Zechariah chapter 8 says this. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. Try to hear the heart of God through this prophet, this minor prophet, Zechariah. I am very jealous for Zion. I am very jealous for my people. God cares deeply about whether you respond to him or not. He cares deeply about your level of respect and reverence, your level of faith, and that you really want to follow and serve what God says to you. He cares deeply about that. I am very jealous for Zion. God is jealous for his people. God is with us. And God wants to stir us. And God is jealous for us. But I want to tell you something else that God is and says in these words. God is very excited for us. He's excited for you. He loves you in a way beyond what we can imagine. How does an infinite eternal God love created man? I don't know. That is a mystery. But over and over and over again, we read through the Bible how intensely God cares about you and I and the excitement that God has for you and I. I usually don't think of the word excitement when I think about how God sees us, but when you read the scriptures and you read the descriptions of how God feels about his people, you find that God has some kind of emotion. I'm not sure if we would say the same emotions as us. I'm not sure quite how to classify the emotions of God, but I know that he loves intently and he's jealous. And I know that he absolutely has this feeling toward us, if it, the right word is a feeling. I am excited about you. Zephaniah, another of the minor prophets, chapter 3, verse 17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You hear what God feels about the church? And I have to believe what God feels about the church in 2018. He says, I'm looking over you. I love you. I'm rooting for you. We think of that scripture from the Song of Solomon, his banner over me is love. Can you sing that line with me? His banner over me is love. Sing that again. His banner over me is love. I'm looking out today and I'm just feeling. I know that some of you don't feel very loved. Some of you have wrestled with that for a long time in your life, about whatever is missing in your life. maybe a relationship when you're a child, maybe because you've lost someone that's been very close to you and you just wonder about love. I want you to know a day doesn't go by that God doesn't love you. He wants you to know that and feel that and sense that every day. His banner over you and me is love. God also says, number 5, I will shake you. That sounds a lot like what we read a few minutes ago. God will stir you, but he uses that word later on in the same book in Haggai. He says, I will shake you. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, I will shake all the nations, and the desire of the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. I want you to know that God wants to rattle us. He wants to shake us. He may want to say, wake up a little bit. He might want to say, would you listen again? Would you hear my purpose? Would you hear how much I love people? How much I want lost people to come to faith in Jesus, my son? He wants to shake us. Sometimes we can be too comfortable, and we need to be shaken. We need to remember. We need to be stirred. God says, I will shake you. God also says to us, I will surprise you. I will do something new in your hearts, in your lives, that you may not be expecting, that you might not know about. God wants to do something new. God says throughout the Bible, I will do something new for you. I will do something new in you. And so as we think about what does God want for our future as a church, I have to believe that God wants to do something new in us. Nate, would you go to that next slide, please? The book of Habakkuk talks about the future and what God wants to do. Habakkuk talks about how God wants to surprise his people. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, the prophet writes there. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. This scripture comes a little further back in history, not at the end as I've described before, but it describes a time about the future and that God cares about what happens tomorrow. And God says, I can shake things up and I can do something new. So be ready, hold on, be watching for and be utterly amazed for what I'm going to do in the days ahead. And I pray that God will say to us in this place, I'm going to do something new, and I ask you to watch and hold on and be a part of. Let's pray about that new thing that God wants to do here in Mifflinburg. God also says, number 7, I will strengthen you. God says that he doesn't leave it up to us and our own strength at all. But God gives us far more than we have. God gives us what we don't have. And God is able to meet the needs and see what's out there and do something great and new and challenging in our hearts and lives. He says that he will strengthen us for that. I will strengthen you. Not just being with us, but filling us with his energy and his strength and the ability to do what he calls us to do. I believe that God wants to strengthen his people. I love that scripture from Isaiah, now leaving the minor prophets to a major prophet, and how God renews us, our strength. We need him today. As we began the service singing about needing God, oh, we need his strength, that renewing power. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights, Habakkuk writes. God gives us the ability to do things that we can't do ourselves. We can't do in our own strength, but we can do when we put our faith in him. And we say, God, help me to be, help me to do, help me to live where you want me to live. He enables us to go on heights that we would not otherwise be able to go. Thank God for his strength. And then number 8 this morning, I will bring my glory to you. This one's been on my heart and my mind for months as I've been reading the minor prophets and thinking about these days and our future and our 75th anniversary, reading the promise that God gives us in the book of Haggai about his glory. I will bring my glory to you. Last Sunday morning, Pastor Chuck in our revival service spoke about the Shekinah glory of God. You remember, if you were here, talked about different translations of the word glory in the Old Testament and kind of the nuances of what they meant. But Shekinah glory just captures something about the very special presence of God in our lives. And Haggai used that word here in chapter 2 when he spoke of the glory of God. And he said, I'm going to bring my glory. I will shake the nations, and the desire of the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. Now, Haggai is talking about the second temple. The first one was Solomon's temple, and it was magnificent and ornate and, oh, so covered with gold. The second temple wasn't near that. They built the second temple, and they tried to make it represent as best they could, but second temple was a lot less. It was less of a building. It was less of all the ornateness. And some of the people were old enough, over 70 years, or maybe those over 80, who were there when the first temple was destroyed. And then they saw the second temple being built, and some of them, it said, cried. Why? I think probably in part it had to be they looked back and said, look what we used to be. Look what we used to do. Look what we've lost. Because we turned away from the intensity of loving God. So Haggai comes along and he says to them, I want to give you a message from God. God's glory was back there, but I want to promise you, I will bring my glory to the present house. Let me read that. Kind of spit that out a little bit. I will shake the nations, and the desire of the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. That's what I'm praying for Mifflinburg. That the glory of whatever, not for the glory of Mifflinburg, not for the glory of you or me or anybody else, so that God's purposes can be done in 2018 and for lost people that are around us. God, don't let us be satisfied to remember the glory of the last 75 years. What about today? What about 2019 around the corner in the next 75 years? I will bring my glory to you. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. I say, oh God, give us a future and a hope and a glory. One more scripture from Haggai. Go back to that one, please, there. Chapter 2, verse 18. From this day on, from the 24th day of the month, ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Haggai says to these people, hey, don't forget the day that this temple was being rebuilt. Don't forget that God wants to do something in this place, on this foundation, and for the future. What's today? Today's the fourth day of the 11th month. November the 4th, 2018. So let's give careful thought. Would you join me in praying and giving careful thought to what God wants to do in us, among us, in the days ahead? One last picture here on this screen. Some of you probably recognize in the background there is the site of the church over here. There's a great big beautiful maple tree over here that kind of overtakes the area. It's been trimmed back to nothing, but today it's come back and it's bigger than it ever was. Walked out there and looking up at that tree. You have all these beautiful leaves, and oh, I love fall time, you know that. Thinking how beautiful it is and how magnificent, and thinking about the past. We do have a lot to be thankful for. The beauty and the wonder that God's allowed in this church, in this place. But as time goes on, God cares about the future. In a few weeks, those leaves are all going to come down. They're going to be swept away. And what's going to be left of that? Dead tree? No. If you look careful at the picture, look at the little buds there at the base of the leaves. I have to believe God's got all kinds of buds. If we allow Him to work in our hearts and our lives, He's going to do something in your life and mine. Would you please pray and open your spirit to God, that He will show you what He wants to say to you. The glory of the past, the glory of today, and what God wants to do. Join me as we talk about and pray about and brainstorm and say, God, where do you want us to go in the next year and in the years ahead? Would you stand as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the power and the wonder of your word. And Lord, this story from Haggai and how this prophet is calling the people to know that God cares about them. He cares about their day and their lives and their needs and their problems and their challenges. We thank you, God. I'm also thankful today for the stirring of God, the shaking of God. Pray that we would never get used to not hearing and not sensing God's voice to us, God. I pray we'd be hungry and thirsty. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh God, I pray that this church and we as your people would hunger for you. We would face the questions that are challenging in our day, in our own lives as parents and in priorities and how we view you, how we view the scriptures, how we view the church, how we view the mission that you've called us to. God, I pray that there would be a revival and renewal to seek you and to serve you in all that we do, I pray. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your spirit. We love you today. We thank you that your banner over us is love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.